It should be so that we can be cleansed and pleasing to God. Okay? The reason why we should read and study the Bible is so we can be cleansed and thereby be pleasing to God. Fearfully, this thought was presented to me this week. Fearfully, there are those who read the Bible to keep God happy, to do what He says, so that when they have a need, He'll give them help. Now, stop and think it through. That is not off the wall. There's a lot of people that do what the Bible says. They do what God says because they know there's going to come a time when they need God's help. And they want to be sure they've dotted their I's and crossed their T's so that they can get the help they want. They know enough that they cannot disobey God and expect Him to help. What are we talking about? We're talking about a motivation issue and why they do what they do. Turn, if you will, to John, the Gospel of John. I'm going to look at chapter 15. John chapter 15. John 15 and verse 3. Well, let's start at verse 1 so it makes 3 clearer. I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Jesus is speaking of God His Father. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it. Why? That it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. We are clean through the word. Spiritually right. Not just because we do what God says, but because when we take the word and we incorporate it into our lives, then it cleans. It's the cleansing agent. Ivory was always spoken of as being 99 and 44, 100% pure. The word of God is 100% pure. Okay? And so you're clean through the word. What word? The word that Jesus spoke. His word, the scriptures. Now, in chapter 17, same Gospel of John, chapter 17, and verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify. Sanctify, in its what I'm going to call most basic form, is to set aside. There were objects in the tabernacle that were sanctified. They were set aside for God's use. But sanctify, when it means more than just setting aside, sanctify involves a matter of being holy, of holiness. And to sanctify is to reveal, to show God as holy. So, as verse 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Now, what is it? Thy word is truth. It's the word of God that cleanses. And we are able to be holy. You cannot be set aside to God and not be holy. Okay? I mean, you can go, you can humanly concoct in your mind that one is being set aside to God. I've given myself to God while continuing to live in sin.
Come on.
But it's only in your mind.
Right.
It's not an happening. And so sanctify them. Who's the them? The people to whom he is speaking. And down through the ages to us. To sanctify us through truth. Not just any truth. Plato had truth, okay, and all of them old guys had truth. We had some truth in some of our founding fathers. But no, this is the truth. It says, thy truth. And so it is through the Word of God, through the Word of Jesus Christ, that we are able to be made holy, sanctified, to reveal, to show God as holy. In doing this, one will be set apart to God. When we in our lives live and reveal within us God is holy, then we're set apart to him. Doesn't come the other way. Don't put the cart before the horse. It isn't a matter of saying, well, I'm going to set myself aside to God and then I'll become holy. No, you strive for holiness. You strive for the cleansing of God through his word. And in the achievement of that is how you become sanctified or set apart to God. And so cleansing is so important. And all of this is done to please God. It's not done to just put ourselves on a foundation of being able to come to God and ask for help when we need it. Now, we know we're going to need help from God. No doubt. We know we're going to. It's just the way it is. But there again, the cart before the horse. We know we're going to need God's help, but we don't live the right way just so we can get God's help. We live the right way because it's the right thing to do.
Amen.
And then when that's been done, the end result is now we can come to God and seek his help. There are so many things that my terminology that I often use, it's a fine line, okay? A fine line between why we seek it, what we can base it on, and in this case, it's right to be holy. It's right to seek God. But all the while we're doing that, we know it's going to put us on a right basis to seek help. And because we know we're going to need help, you see the fine line? How do I make sure that I'm on the right side of that line? That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Okay? And when we're not on the right side of that, when we are asking something for what we wouldn't think of it as a selfish goal to have the help with serious things in life. A selfish goal might be I'd rather have a Mercedes than a Chevy, okay? That'd be selfish. That's obvious, okay? But, you know, that's just an illustration. In life, there are things that we need help with, and we know we need help with them. And we know if we live to please God, and if we live to be holy, that God will give us help. But I don't live that way just to get the help. How do I know that I'm doing it the right way? That I'm on the right side of the fine line? Spirit of God. Spirit of God. When we're sincere and genuine, the Spirit of God will show us. He'll let us know if our motivation is right or not. And if he shows us that it's not right, then, of course, what we need to do is make it right. Now, how do we make it right? I'm glad you asked that. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. How do we make it right? How do we get on the right side of that fine line? 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. My notes here say how to live holy. 2 Corinthians 7, 1. Having therefore these promises. Now you'd have to go back and read chapter 6 and see what the context is there to know when he says having therefore these promises. You've heard the old adage, haven't you? When you see the word therefore, you need to check what it's there for. Well, that's the case, you know, okay? There's promises there, and that's why it's there. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us, what are the next two words out loud?
Cleanse ourselves.
Doesn't say, let the Spirit of God cleanse you. Well, he will. But it doesn't say, let the Spirit of God cleanse you. He said, when you have these promises, then cleanse yourself. Cleanse ourselves. You see, there is a great big responsibility that we have, and there is a great big ability that we are able to do. Now, the Spirit of God will take our ability and empower it. But he says so clear. He didn't say, let us hope that the Spirit of God works in us the miracles so that from all filthiness of the flesh will be removed. No, that isn't what he says. He says, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. I think it was Van Voltenberg. Who was talking about the matter of what the Word of God says and where we are. And he said, I remember because he said, just do it. When the Word of God gives an instruction, just do it. Amen. And that's about it. One of the reasons why we, you notice the word I used, I didn't say you. I said one of the reasons we struggle with that is because we don't want to do it. But boy, we can sure use a whole lot of spiritual sounding terminology that makes us sort of feel good. But it doesn't work. We're to cleanse ourselves. That means we need to stop doing what we... Now, you might struggle to stop doing some things. Undoubtedly, it isn't always going to be easy. But that's where, again, the Holy Spirit's given to help us, to empower us, to enable us. And there are some times where the people of God can struggle for quite a while before they can overcome what needs to be overcome.
That's right, yes, sir.
If everything was going to happen real easy and in a snap, I can't even snap my fingers. Oh, it's not there, it's here. Anyway, if it were going to happen in a snap, we wouldn't need the Holy Spirit. But we need the Holy Spirit. And so, but that's what he says there. Since we have these promises, and he used an affectionate term, dearly beloved, let us. You notice the word Paul uses, let us. He didn't say let them, let you. He said let us cleanse ourselves from all A-double-L, filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Some filthiness is fleshly and some filthiness has to do with the spirit of man. Now, not the Holy Spirit. But the spirit of man. And we are to be perfecting holiness. Now, we're going back to John 17:17, where it says we're to sanctify ourselves. We're to be perfect. Sanctification, holiness. holy actions of God in us. And we are to be perfecting, developing, maturing the holiness that God enables us to have. Here again, you see, we are not without responsibility. Listen, getting saved can be a struggle. Well, listen to me. I hate to disappoint you if you are. Living the Christian life can also be a struggle. Okay? If you think, well, once I get saved, then I can breathe a sigh of relief of one sort. You can breathe one kind of sigh, but then you're going to have another wind. And that is a lifelong struggle. But things do get better.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Things do improve. Because, you know, there's things I used to do I don't do anymore. Okay, there's a little song or chorus to that effect, you know. And I'm glad I'm not become what I need to become, but I'm glad I'm not what I once was. Okay, all kinds of little expressions that we have, and they're good. So, but nevertheless, he says there, we're to be perfecting, developing, allowing to mature holiness. There's not a period there. Do you notice that? Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Yes, fear, we have reverence for God. Because we reverence God, we perfect holiness. But also fear, like I was afraid when, I remember one time I was jumping up and down in my bed. It was one of them, those springs that everything did jiggle, you know. And there were slats across the two side rails, and they weren't as long as they could have been. And one time when I came down, so did the slats go down. And I don't know what it sounded like down below, but I knew my dad came up. Now, we lived in a split-level house, and there were just three steps from the living room up to my bedroom level. And he was not a big man, but I swear he didn't touch any of them. And I did have a fear of Dad at that point. And I don't remember the outcome, so apparently it wasn't too bad. But anything I'd have got, I should have got. Because the bedroom was not a gym, okay? And that was not appropriate behavior for a bedroom. That's the kind of terminology we use today. You know, that's not appropriate behavior for the house. Go sit in the corner. Anyway, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. There are some things, because we do not cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and our spirit, but that we ought to fear God over. Because he's going to hold us accountable to it. He's going to take us to task for it. And when we begin to realize the results that we're going to reap for what we've sowed, oh God, please help me. I know I shouldn't have, but I did anyway. Oh no, that's not the way we put it. We try to put it in such spiritually sounding terminology. Father, forgive me. I need your help. I'm very weak. And I know you're strong. And if you would deem it within your graces to help me, I'd very much appreciate it. Yeah. Sounds good. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God, that we may just do that. Reap what we've sowed. That God, that's why we fear God. He might just let us reap what we sowed. Now, indeed, by his mercy, there are times when he knows where we are in our heart. When he knows that in our heart we are truly regretful and remorseful for what it is that we've sowed. Then he indeed will extend grace and give us what we don't deserve, but indeed what his mercy provides for us. So cleanse ourselves. So we are to sanctify ourselves, and then how to do that is that we do our part. And then lastly, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 21. And I've titled this, How to Live a Life Honoring to God. 2 Timothy 2:21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Purge himself from what? Verse 16, where we're told to shun profane and vain babblings. If we will purge ourselves, remove from ourselves, from our thinking, from our feelings, okay? Not just mentally, though it needs to be purged. If we'll purge ourselves from these, from what? Again, verse 16, from profane and vain babblings. Now you notice verse 16 has the word but. But shun. But how? But what? Verse 15. Such a nice verse. Everybody likes it. And it's a good verse, okay? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a good verse. But it's not done. But. You see, the but is a contrast between verse 15, where we're studying to show ourselves approved, and verse 16, where we're told to shun profane and vain babblings. You cannot study to show yourself approved unto God and be putting up with profane and vain babblings, listening to all kinds of dummies, okay, whether on the radio or television, okay, or something that you're reading. I mean, listen, if it's not good, if it's not true, if it's not, you say, how do I know it's not? You know, the Spirit of God lets you know when you're listening to the radio. I used to do a lot of late night driving, and I like to listen to a lot of the big national radio programs that you get, you know, all over the place. WWVA out of Wheeling, West Virginia, and there was a couple of them from out in the Midwest. And they'd have preachers on, you know, like 12, 1 o'clock at night, and you listen to them. And even when I wasn't living for God and really didn't care about living for God, I mean, I was backslidden. Back when I was in that condition and some of these yokels came on, I knew this was not right. I mean, I didn't know what I know, but I knew. How did I know that? I had the Holy Spirit living within me. And he would let me know, this isn't right, this isn't true. And that's when you need to change the dial, change the station, you know. And so we need to shun that kind of stuff. Why? Look at the rest of verse 16. The reason we're to shun that sort of thing is because they will increase unto more ungodliness. So here I am trying to be godly, trying to develop sanctification and holiness in my life, but I'm listening to these people that are not teaching the truth, and that's just increasing my ungodliness. And I don't understand. Why am I having such a struggle? I want to stop it, and I pray and ask God to help me to stop it, but I just keep doing it. Why is it? Because of what you're listening to.
Yeah, right. That's good. Yeah.
Okay, you can't listen to that stuff and please God. You say, well, you're being judgmental.
Good.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's right.
Judgment based on the Word of God. You see, you know what judgment is? It's evaluation.
Yeah.
When a person breaks a law and they go before the judge, and the guy's sitting there behind his little desk, and he's gonna make a pronouncement. What's he doing? He's evaluating the conduct of the person before him, and he's comparing it with the written law. And when the person that's standing before him has had a transaction that is not in agreement and has broken the written law, then the judge pronounces him guilty.
Right.
And it doesn't get it out of your head, this idea, judge not, that you be not judged.
Yeah.
Everybody who doesn't want to be judged knows that verse.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
You know there's another Bible verse that says, judge with righteous judgment.
Right.
We're commanded to judge. It's just evaluation. It's just evaluation. And so we are indeed, we're growing in ungodliness, and that we can't do that. So we have got to evaluate ourselves, and this is wrong. And if I don't change, my ungodliness is going to increase. Now listen, it doesn't matter how many people at church you have praying for you. If you aren't cooperating with the Spirit of God in this matter, you cannot go before God. Well, I don't know why you didn't help me to stop this. I have 25 people at church praying for me. Yeah, they've been praying for you. But they're not going to pray against the will of God. And we've got to put ourselves in line with the will of God to get the help of God.
Yes.
Verse 21, 2 Timothy 2. Therefore, if a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Here's how it is. Sanctified, holy, set apart, and meet or fit for the master's use. And then he says, prepared unto every good work. That's how we get prepared to every good work. And remember, going back to 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, where let a man, what did it say? Can't even remember. 10 seconds ago. Cleanse ourselves. It's our action within it. Now, I've got to stop. I'm going to stop. Can you imagine that? I'm actually stopping. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you. Now we're going to take your prayer requests. Thank you for watching on live streaming. We trust that this has been helpful.